not covered in Revelation. Some people think that, well, after chapter 20 is over and we have the great white throne judgment, now we have the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven and it's going to hover right over Mount Zion there where the throne of Christ is. Well, that is the eternal phase. That is after the 1,000 years. No, he goes back to the beginning now of the 1,000 years in chapter 21 and 22. He goes back to the beginning of it. And now he gives you the trees of the forest. He gives you an on-the-ground look of how it looks. He has a new vision of how the millennium is going to look, and we're going to study it for the next two chapters. So a lot of people teach this is after the 1,000 years in chapter 21. No, it's the beginning of the 1,000 years again, but now we're going to look at it in detail. Do you follow me? That's what that's talking about, okay? Cynthia said, no, I don't follow you. Chapter 21 and 22 is not after the 1,000 years, Cynthia. It is taking up from the beginning of the 1,000 years and looking at it in detail. Just keep that in mind. We're still in the millennium in 21 and in 22. You're not going to be taught that in many places, but I have come to a firm conviction that that is the case. I used to not believe that myself, but it is the case. And so we're going to look at that a little bit in this class because you're not a cat or a dog. You're not made to live and die. You're going to live forever. Did you hear me? You're going to live forever, either in heaven or hell. Amen? Or either in the New Jerusalem, hovering over the earth, or in hell. And it all is your relationship to Jesus Christ. Have you trusted Christ alone as your Savior? That makes all the difference, you see. And so this is talking about that kingdom that's coming, the 1,000-year phase of it. That's all. We're not going beyond that now. We're just talking about the 1,000-year phase of it. And John, after flying over that whole 1,000 years in chapter 20 in his airplane, so to speak, now we've landed on the earth, and he's looking up, and he's seeing the first day of the millennium and how it's going to unfold and what it's like. Wouldn't you like to look ahead in the time machine and see what it's like? And so we're going to do that. Now, remember he did a flyover in chapter 1 of the whole revelation, the whole future revelation about the second coming of Christ. He did a flyover. And remember in the time machine, he was brought ahead in chapter 1, verse 10. He was brought ahead to what period of time? What is that time that he was brought ahead to? He said, I was in the Spirit on the... Sarge.
The day of the Lord.
I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, 1:10. So he went ahead to this period of time called the day of the Lord. Now the day of the Lord is within the 7 years just before the 1,000-year reign that we're studying now. And the second 3.5 years, we don't know the day or the hour, the Lord's going to come back, rapture the church, and then pour out his wrath on the same day called the day of the Lord. And that'll be during the second 3.5 years of the 7 years. That'll cut short the Great Tribulation, which starts in the middle of the 7 years. And so on chapter 1, John is put in a time machine, so to speak, by the Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord, and brought forward to this time called the Day of the Lord. And then he says, okay, John, write the things that thou hast seen. Well, what's he talking about? The thing from John's day and the seven churches of John's day, right up until what period of time? The thing thou hast seen. Diane? The day of the Lord. And that's chapter 1 through chapter 7 of Revelation. Then he says, write the things which are during the day of the Lord. That starts in chapter 8 and goes through what chapter? Anybody have an idea? Chapter number what? 19. That's when the Battle of Armageddon takes place. And then he says, and write the things which shall be hereafter. Well, that is chapter 20, where we have the fly over the millennium, and then 21 and 22, where we have the whole 1,000 years pictured for us from the standpoint of John being on earth looking at it. And so that's the outline of the revelation. That's in chapter 1, verse 19. Okay? So now, here we are in the last two chapters, starting chapter 21 today. We'll conclude with 22, and it's all about the millennium. It's all about the 1,000-year reigns. Now, we've been talking about these seven dispensations. Innocence, conscience, human government, patriarchal promise, law, church, and then millennium or near reign. That's what we've been talking about. Now, when we're talking about that, and we have to realize that there are seven dispensations. How many days are there in a week?
Seven.
Right now, we're about 6,000 years in from the creation, 6,000 years. Christ's going to come soon. And then we'll have the seventh, which will be 1,000 years. So it's like 7 days, right? A day with the Lord is 1,000 years a day. So it's all, God has a plan. I'm trying to help you to see today, your life is not helter-skelter. There's nothing by chance that happens. God has a plan. He's ordained whatsoever shall come to pass. And he's got the plan. And guess who wins this battle? God does. That's why it says, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So just walk with God. Do what God wants you to do. God wants you to get saved. And by putting your trust in Jesus, if you're trusting your own goodness, if you're trusting your works, you're not obeying the gospel. You're not depending on the Lord Jesus. Depend on the Lord and you'll be saved and you will reign with Christ. And so God wants you to cooperate with his plan. His plan of salvation is the start of it. Then his plan for your life, which is the King James Bible. I like what Bobby said Sunday night. I heard that message. He said, God has had the Bible translated to English when English was at its acme, so the Bible could now be preserved in English. And I believe that this King James Bible is the preserved, inspired Word of God for today. And he said, not just for the English-speaking people, that's technically right. It's preserved in English. We can study the original languages, and that gives color and depth to words, and we're going to do that a little bit today. But this is the preserved Word of God. This is your final authority. Love that statement by Bob Majeski. He's a good teacher. Good stuff. And what I'm saying to you is that we have this revelation as well about the second coming, so we can know when things get really rough down here, God is in control. And so you just trust the Lord, follow the Word of God, follow your compass, right? When you're in the woods and you're all like, where am I? Follow the compass, follow the plan, the Word of God, and you won't be wrong, okay? And part of what we're doing right now is be part of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Be part of a good church, because this is the church age, and God makes much of the church. The family's important, and thank God for Elgin's family. We were over there yesterday and had a blessed time, and God's given them a wonderful house, and Elgin's doing a lot of good work on that house. I really was impressed with that. Killed a copperhead snake, amen, and as he's doing that work and all that, but God is building families today with a husband and a wife and children. That's God's plan. It's not Adam and Steve, it's Adam and Eve, amen. God's building families today, and God's building churches, but it's not going to be according to the world's way of doing things. It's God's way of doing things. And I saw a young lady yesterday. I was out on bus ministry helping Matt's route, and I was giving the gospel to this lady. She should be coming today with her car because she has little kids and she needs to pack up the car to get them there. She couldn't put them on the bus, she felt. But she was just in tears because I was asking her about, you know, going to heaven, talking to her about sin. And I thought about how she got messed up because she didn't have Christ, didn't have the light of the world, didn't have the Bible. And you could see, you know, her life has been hurt, but she trusted the Lord. Got saved, I believe, yesterday. Thank God for that. Pray for her. Mariah, her name is Mariah, but she should be coming today. Amen? Yes, Diane.
I have a question. You went over the Reformation period?
Yes.
The 30 days?
Correct.
But the Restoration period, the next 45 days?
Yes. Yeah, we didn't really study that out in depth, but the reclamation period is when Christ touches down at the end of the 7 years, and then, you know, we've studied that in detail, the 6 days of that. On the sixth day, he's finished with that. Then he goes back up to heaven for the judgment seat of Christ. On the 30th day, he comes down and has the Battle of Armageddon. So once that's finished, that's in Daniel 12:11. There's Daniel 12:12, and that is a 45-day. And during that time, there needs to be a preparation for the millennial rule of Christ. And one of the things that'll be is the judgment of the nations. Remember the sheep and the goat judgment, Matthew 25? So that will take place during that time. Or some believe that'll be the first day of the millennium, but I believe that'll very well be during the reclamation, restoration period. The temple that's in heaven will be moved on to Mount Zion, the temple that Christ has built. You know, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's the New Jerusalem. That's the temple up there. Well, it's going to come down on top of elevated Mount Zion. So it will be things that will have to do, you know, Jewish people that are still scattered worldwide will have to come back for the millennial rule to Israel. They're still out there. They're going to be brought back during that time. And Gentiles will bring them back. It talks about that in the prophets. So things that have to do with preparation for the kingdom after the 30 days and Christ, you know, basically kills all the enemies. Now you've got to kind of restore order here and get things in ready for the reign. And it takes 45 days to do that. So yeah, that's in there. And then there is the thousand-year reign. And that's really what we're studying now, is the thousand-year reign of Christ. The thing you need to understand is heaven, at least the New Jerusalem part of heaven. I think heaven may be bigger than the New Jerusalem, but the New Jerusalem part, where the throne of God is coming to earth. And we're going to be in the heavenly city, but it's going to be hovering right over the earth for the thousand years. And then even beyond that. So think about that. God's plan for man has to do with the earth and reclaiming the earth and restoring the earth. And so that's what we're going to have. So there's going to be trees. There's going to be water. There's going to be flowers. You know, it's not like everything is totally different. It's just going to be better and more wonderful. And it's not some spooky thing. You're going to have a body, and you're going to have a physical body, and it will be real and tangible. So this is what we're dealing with here, and God wants us to know his plan. All right, that's all introduction. So let's look at number one in our notes, and turn with me in your Bible again to Revelation 21. We're studying in Revelation 21 what period of time in detail. Help me out with that. What period of time in detail? It's the last dispensation, by the way. What is it? Raise your hand. Come on. All right, Brenda.
The millennial kingdom.
Thank you, Brenda. The millennial kingdom. Millennia means thousand. It's the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ over the earth. And we who are saved during the church dispensation, we will reign with him. Now, if you doubt this whole thing about dispensations and you say, well, this is just Pastor Bloom teaching us a lot of theology. I don't know about the Bible talking about dispensations. Take your Bible and look at the Apostle Paul. Go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 9. Before we go to Revelation 21, look at Ephesians 1 and verse number 9. I'm sorry, verse number 10. But I will read verse 9 first. It says, having made known unto us, that's God, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Mystery is a secret with God that he's revealed to us in the Bible. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that, look at verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together into one all things in Christ. Well, what is the dispensation of the fullness of time? Raise your hand again. Diane.
Wow.
The millennial kingdom. The seventh and last dispensation. That is the full time. 7 days in a week, seven dispensation. That in the dispensation, it says he's gonna gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That means that the angels in heaven in the New Jerusalem, the church in heaven in the New Jerusalem, it's coming down to earth. And Christ is going to rule over the whole thing. He's going to rule over the Gentile nations on earth. He's going to rule over Israel on earth. He's going to rule over rule with his queen, which is us, the bride, which is in the New Jerusalem, hovering over the earth. He's going to rule over the angels who will be our helpers. He's ruling over everything. It's all going to be one big happy family and gathered together. That is God's plan. It's not just me talking. This is what the Bible says. Ephesians 1, verse 10. All right, and so now we're going to study this dispensation called the millennium, the thousand-year reign. We're going to study it verse by verse, and I like what some people say. We're going to unpack it. They always talk about that. We're going to unpack it. So that's a popular evangelical catchphrase. I'm a fundamentalist, but we'll use it. Unpack it. Let's look at chapter 21, verse 1. John is writing. He says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." So this is talking about the thousand-year reign, number one. And at this point, we're looking at the entire, after the flyover of the entire Revelation. Now we're looking at the first day of the thousand years. So number three now in your notes, notice in verse one, the apostle calls this millennial kingdom a new heaven and a new earth. He does not mean an entirely new creation. Or he would have used this word. If the word new here was entirely new, he would have used the word neos. Neos means new, entirely new. It's like when he created the first heaven and first earth, he made it new out of nothing. No, this word for new is kainos in the Greek. Kainos. And what does kainos? What does kainos mean? It means renovated. Renovated. How many have ever had a portion of your home renovated? Okay, you understand it. That's what God's going to do. He's going to take the old earth. He's going to cleanse it entirely on the first day of the millennium. Get rid of the curse out of the earth. You know, the weeds and all of the junk and the curse on the animals. He's going to remake the earth. It'll still be grass, it'll still be water, it'll still be trees, it'll still be beautiful. Just get rid of the junk and remake it, and it will be totally renovated. And so that's the word he uses, kainos, in verse 1 there. A new heaven and a new earth. Wonderful that it will be. It's going to be great. And as I said, right now a lion and a lamb get together. The lion eats the lamb, right? It's not happening. All right? It's just not happening. The lion and the lamb are going to be together. The lion will eat grass. I saw a deer in my lawn yesterday. Saw a big six-point buck out there, beautiful buck. And he was eating. And then his little child, a button buck, was out there, a little small one. He was eating grass, just eating grass out of my lawn. I said, "Go ahead, I won't have to cut it, just eat it." And it's so neat to see, but you'll see bears and lions. My son said bears back behind his house, big black bear walking behind his house. But they'll be eating grass. They'll be having all kind of grass. And so there'll be no animals killing each other. None of that. It's all going to be, they'll all be vegetarian animals. And it's going to be something to behold. And snakes will not be poisoned. You won't have to kill copperheads anymore. There will not be poisoned snakes. It's going to be a beautiful world to come. And this could happen, listen, in your lifetime. This whole thing could wind up in your lifetime. Because we're talking about the final 7 years. Now, I'm not saying it would. It might be another 60 years, another 100 years. I don't know. But it could. It could wind up in your lifetime. And so this thing is going to come about, but God wants you to know about it now so that you can get ready for it. Now, when we talk about a new heaven and a new earth, some people think, listen, this is very important. Well, this is not talking about the 1,000-year reign. This is talking about eternity after the 1,000 years. And in eternity, there'll be no death. Will there be death during the millennium on earth? Will there be death on earth? And I'm talking amongst people. Raise your hand if you have a comment on that. Mrs. Bloom.
Yes.
She's right. Yes. Well, then how can it be a new heaven and a new earth because there still is death? Well, for one thing, a new heaven means a new atmosphere. It's not talking about the third heaven. It's talking about the atmosphere. What is different in the atmosphere in the new heaven around the new earth? Yeah.
Pastor, it's going to be just like it was.
Yes.
When just before the
flood
of Noah's time.
Yes.
It's going to be a covering of water, like vapor.
That's exactly right.
It's going to go all around the globe.
Yes, either made of ice crystals or water vapor, but it will be above the atmosphere between the sun and our present atmosphere to filter out the harmful rays of the sun that cause people to die much quicker. That's why before the flood, as Joe just pointed out correctly, and we had Dr. Dino here last week. He could tell you all about this. But before, brilliant guy, before that happened, there was this water canopy like a big greenhouse. And we were living in this greenhouse, so we had no North Pole or South Pole. We had no, everything was a tropical paradise, and it was beautiful. And by the way, for all of that time, which is about 1,500 years into this world after creation, about 1,500 years, there was no killing animals then. They ate grass and so forth. And people didn't even kill animals. They were vegetarian, ate fruits and vegetables for 1,500 years. And they lived to be 900 plus years old. Why? Because it filtered out the harmful rays. Number two, that greenhouse, that canopy, Joe, you talked about, that made an oxygen-rich environment. And our forefathers, our pre-flood fathers, they grew to be about 10 feet tall. They were giants. And they were bigger than we are today. We have not evolved, we've devolved, right? And they lived to be hundreds and hundreds of years old. And they were living in what we call a hyperbaric chamber. How many have heard of a hyperbaric chamber? It's an oxygen-rich atmosphere. And if you go into a hyperbaric chamber, like big NCAA athletes and pro athletes do, they get healed very much quicker, and it really is health-promoting. So oxygen-rich, no harmful rays, they live to be hundreds and hundreds of years old. And so this new heaven and new heaven and new earth is kainos, but there'll still be death. And so if you go back to Isaiah 65, and I'm not going to ask you to turn there right now. You can look at it later, verses 17 through 25. In the new heaven and new earth that Isaiah describes, is there death or not? Yes, there is death. It says, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die, how old? Isaiah 65:10. Brenda? Huh?
100 years old.
If somebody dies and they die at 100 today, wow, they lived a long life. 100 years old. But then, if somebody dies at 100, they'll be called a child. There will be death. My wife is right. Isaiah 65 calls this period of time the new heaven and new earth. So is this describing eternity in Isaiah 65 and Revelation 21 or the millennium? What is it, Diane?
Millennium.
It's the millennium. It's not eternity. And so look at Isaiah 65. You'll see there's death. And there will still be death in the millennium, although people will live a lot longer. Now you say, well, Mrs. Bloom said that there's no death in eternity, or in the, I like to call this the eternal phase of the mediatorial kingdom. Eternal phase, after the 1,000 years, which is not covered in Revelation. There'll be no more death then. What? No more death then? Where do you get that? I want you to just hold your finger and go to 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 28. 1 Corinthians 15, I want to show you this and how the Bible speaks to this. 1 Corinthians 15, and look at 24 through 28. By the way, there's a lot in this Bible, friends. A lot in this Bible. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 through 28. It says, first of all, go to verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Who was the first man that rose from the dead never to die again? Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Now when Christ comes back, if you're dead, you'll rise from the dead never to die again, right? That's what it's saying here. All right, so let's go on. Verse 25, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Now, in verse 25, when it says, for he hath reign, he must reign, who's it talking about? Who's he?
Jesus.
He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. What period of time is this? That he's going to reign, and then he'll have a rebellion at the end of it, and then he'll put the enemies under his feet for once and for all. Yep. Millennium, the final rebellion at the end of the millennium. That's verse 25. Let's look at verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? So if it's at the end of the millennium that he ends any rebellion against him forever, he also ends death when? When? End of the millennium. And that's what this is saying. And then verse 27 says, verse 26, the last enemy shall be destroyed is death. That's the last enemy. Well, if the rebellion at the end of the millennium is an enemy and it's destroyed, then death, the last enemy, will be destroyed then. Not during the millennium, as we just saw. And then he says in verse 27, for he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, that's at the end of the millennium, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And that will be the eternal phase of the mediatorial kingdom, when God the Father will be over it all, and the Son will rule for eternity. But there'll be no more death then. Now that's interesting. When I taught about that, I believe in the after the millennium, people will still have babies on earth. Mm-hmm. Their bodies, though, will not anymore be subject to any death at all. But they'll still have babies. You say, well, how do you know they'll still have babies? All right. Well, yeah, but where? Go to Isaiah 9. I was asked this by Luke Zukowski yesterday. He's a guy that he thinks. He's like got a brain like me, thinks. Isaiah 9, and look at verse 7. It's talking about the Messiah reigning over the kingdom of on earth. And after the millennium, look what it says in verse 7. And of the increase of his government, that's Jesus, and peace on earth, there shall be what? No end. Well, the millennium is the end of the 1,000-year reign phase of the kingdom, but not the eternal phase. So of the increase of the Messiah's government, there'll be no end. That means more people have to be born. But they won't die and go to hell. They'll live forever. Everybody born. So his government will just keep increasing through eternity. Yep.
They won't sin either.
No, they will not sin. Sin will be done. Satan will be done. Death will be done in this eternal phase. But we're studying the 1,000-year reign phase. Okay? All right. So let's move on from that and get on to, now we're going to go to number 5. We're just about done. Number 5 says, in verse 15, the eternal future of those who have, wait a minute, am I in the right thing here? I think I am. Yeah, I am. In verse 15, who have not been foreknown by the Lord Jesus, and those that have not been known by him by receiving him as their Savior. Now, the reason I said that, remember he said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared by the devil and his angels. I never knew you. That means he never foreknew them, and he never knew them personally while they lived, because they never accepted him as their personal Savior. If you accept him as your personal Savior, it's because he's foreknown you, and then you know him, just like a husband knows his wife physically. You know him spiritually, personally. All right? So he says here, their names will then be shown to not be in the book of life. That's in verse 15 of Revelation 21. Thus, every person not in that book will be found in the other book, and at the great white throne judgment, they'll be found guilty for all the sins recorded against them in that other book. There'll be no blood of Christ, God's Passover lamb, found upon the doorpost of their hearts. Thus, an angel will be called over to them, and he will pick them up, screaming and crying, and cast them into the lake of fire. You say, Pastor, why are you talking about this? Because God talks about it. He says you'll spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. I can't even imagine it. Unless you put your trust in the one whose blood alone can take away your sin. God will not accept anyone or anything else other than the blood of his son as the payment for your sin. And you have to have that blood on your heart by trusting the Lord with your heart, not your own goodness. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart to save you from your sin and from hell. And I don't want anybody in here to go to hell. So if you're not sure that you've done that, make sure that you've done that, and then your life, eternal life, begins right now. Because you have then eternal life right now. And it will go on forever. And it will be in the wonderful phase when Christ comes back. And I'm looking forward to that day. Why? Because I know I've accepted the Lord. Not because I'm better than anybody. There'll be a lot of people better than me that'll be in hell. As far as maybe they haven't committed as many sins as I have. Because sin is in your heart, not just in what you do. Okay? All right, we'll stop there. And those are your notes. And next week we're going to go on with this study of the 1,000-year reign. Amen? Bring people out. Amen. If you need notes, I still have some up here.
Pastor,
yes, ma'am.
John mentioned to me that, well, we both.